The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Soita Daf Mem Beis, and we begin the new Perek. Perek Meshuach Melchama. So Perek Meshuach Melchama is in Mesechta Soita. Why? Because that was the last thing, or could be the second to last thing, mentioned in the Mishnah of Elun Amar B'Lashon HaKodesh. So the Meshuach Melchama, he was the commander-in-chief of the army, the Jewish army, when they used to fight wars. He was a Kohen. He was anointed specifically for his job as being the chief general of Melchama. When he would say his piece to the Yidden, he would have to say it dafka b'loshon HaKodesh. There's a whole perek here tucked away in the end of Masechta Soita called Perek Meshuach Melchama. It's a very geshmaka perek, and it's really in line with these sugis that we've had here in the end of Masechta Soita. Now, just very briefly, as far as an introduction, the Parsha of the Meshuach Melchama is mentioned in Parsha Shoftim. It's Dvarim Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph. I'll just read through the Pesukim quickly, and then we'll see how the Gemara darshins these Pesukim. Ki seitzi la melchama alevech. You're going to be going out to fight a war. Incidentally, a big machlokes rishonim, whether we're talking about a Melchemes Mitzvah or Melchemes Rishos, we're talking about both. What type of war exactly we're fighting? So that's a discussion. We'll see that Mirtz Hashem in the coming days. But ki seitzi la melchama alevech, v'ro'is asus v'rechev amrav mimcha. And you may see a nation that you're going to be fighting against that seems to be more powerful than you. You're the underdog. Lo'is siro mehem. You shouldn't be afraid of them. Ki Hashem alekech imach hamalchem eretz Mitzrayim. You have not supposed to be afraid. Not only you're not supposed to be afraid, lo yisiro. It's an isra seydei raisa. You can't eat chazer. You can't eat nevel. You have to watch. You have to keep Shabbos. Lo yisiro mehem. You're not allowed to be afraid of your opponent, even though he's an avrav mimcha, even though he seems to be mightier than you. But you can cover al mechama when you're going to get closer to the battlefield. V'nigash akoyim v'dibralam. The koyim. This is the koyim. He's appointed specifically for this job. He's going to get up and he's going to give a motivational speech to the Am. But Omer Aleim is going to say as follows. Shema Yisrael, Atem Kraven Hayom L'Melchom Alaveichem. You are going to now fight a war. Al Yerach Levavchem, Al Tiruv, Al Tachbezuv, Al Tartzu Mipneim. Full of them. You have to be very careful not to be afraid. Ki Hashem Alekechem, Al Heiluchim Ochem, because Hashem is with you. Lehilochim Lochem, Imoyvechem L'Shia Eschem. Because even though on paper you seem to be the underdog, but you have an intangible here that your enemy doesn't have, you have Hashem Alekechem. Specifically, the Mishnah is going to say, you have the Orin that was with them. The Orin used to help them fight wars, so you have nothing to worry about. V'dibra shoytrim elam, and then there was shoytrim. We'll see who they were, and they would speak, and they would say as follows: Mil isha shabana bayis v'leichanochoy yelch v'yashal v'yisay ben yamos b'amuchamim v'shachli yachachenu. Is there anybody here that shana rishayna? If the answer is yeah, go home. Umi isha shenata kemalei chiluloy. Is there someone who just planted a vineyard? Yelch v'yashal v'yisay ben yamos b'amuchamim v'shachli yachalenu. Umi isha she'eres isha v'leich lekochay yelch v'yashal v'yisay ben yamos b'amuchamim v'shachli yachachenu. I spoke it out of order, but the point is, anyone just built a new house, a new kerem, or just got married, they should all go home. You shouldn't fight wars. The Shaitan would continue to talk. And they would say, anybody who's just afraid, just old school scared, the Gemara says he's afraid of Averis that he did. All these we'll see in the Gemara. As soon as the speech ended, everybody stormed ahead and they would go fight their war. So the Yidden didn't just fight. In addition to their fighting, there was a very specific motivational speech that was given by two people. By the Koyein, that was Meshuach Melchama, that was designated for this job. And then you have all the Shoytrim that would speak as well. So the Meshuach Melchama, he's that Koyein who says Shema Yisrael, who says that piece, as mentioned here in Parsha Shoftim. So the Mishnah, Meshuach Melchama, B'shom Hashem Adam Re'lo'am, when he would speak to the nation, B'loshen HaKodesh Hoyim Adaber, he would speak B'loshen HaKodesh, and Amar, V'hoyu K'korvichem HaMelchama, V'nigash HaKoyen, Zeh Koyen Mashiach. The Koyen is referring to the Koyen that's Meshuach Melchama, V'daber Re'lo'am, and when it says that he will speak to the nation, B'loshen HaKodesh, he'll speak B'loshen HaKodesh. How do you know V'daber Re'lo'am means B'loshen HaKodesh? So the Gemara is going to say, V'omer Aleim, and he would tell him, Shema Yisrael, V'goymer, Aloyvechem, V'loy Aloycheichem. He would tell them, realize that you're going to fight against your enemies. That's his Loshen. Atem Krevim Ayem L'Melchama Aloyvechem. Realize you're going to fight people that hate you. What he meant to say was, as opposed to fighting a civil war, where even though it's a war and people are dying, but at the end of the day, you're fighting against your brothers. And the reason is because if somebody falls captive to his brothers will be a little bit more sensitive to him, even though he's the enemy, than he will if he's fighting against his enemies. I once read that World War II happened on two fronts. It happened in Europe, in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, against Germany, Russia, etc. And the other front was in the Far East, Japan, the Philippines. The American prisoners of war were treated much worse in the Far East than they were in Europe. And it's not because the Germans liked the Americans more than the Japanese did, but there was this thought that the Japanese and the Americans, they were so different in so many different ways, they couldn't even relate to each other as human beings. There was no kinship there at all. And when they took them as prisoners of war, they mutilated them, they treated them absolutely disgustingly. Whereas the Germans, even though they were enemies, but a lot of the original settlers in the United States had come from Germany, there was a kinship, they were able to relate to each other, at least as human beings, and they treated them much better. But that's Lahavdol, what the Mashiach Muhammad is telling them, that there's a big difference between fighting against someone that views you as a human being, even though you're fighting a war, it's business, but still, they treat you as a human being, in contrast to going against a Vechem, which Halacha Esav Sein Yaakov, that was always the feeling that the enemies had towards the Yidden, Vahili Shar V'chamar, there was this feeling of, they don't even treat you as human beings, so you better be very careful when you go out and fight. This is not Shevet Yehuda fighting against Shevet Shimon, or Shevet Shimon fighting against Shevet Binyamin. Where if you will be a prisoner of war, they'll have some compassion on you. In fact, there's a pasuk, and this is Divrei Hayomim Beis. Vayakumu anoshim ashenikvu b'shemois, vayachziku b'shivya v'chol marumeyam hilbishum min hasholo, vayalbishum vayanilum, vayachilum vayashkum vayesu. In short, what the pasuk is describing though is a war between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon, and the prisoners of war were taken care of. Even though thousands of people died, this was war. They weren't having fun. They were killing each other. But at some level, there was some compassion for the prisoners of war. That's not something you're going to have when you fight against Oyvechem. Al Oyvechem atam hochem, shem tiplu biyadam, emirachnum aleichem. Al yerech levavchem, al tirov al tachbizu. So then the Mashiach Melchama uses many adjectives to really make the same point. Don't be afraid. Al yerech levavchem, says the Mishnah, each one of these words has a nuance of meaning. Al yerech levavchem, don't be afraid, neitzal asusim. The horses used to make a lot of noise, and these was done on purpose. This was intimidation factors. They used to fight wars a little differently then. So the horses would stop making noise. Everybody would get scared. Don't be afraid of the noises of the horses. V'tzikzo charavois, or the banging of the swords. Al tirub ne'agofas treisen, or they used to clap the shields together to make noise. V'shafas hakalgesin, or the stamping of the troops. Al tachpesum we call kronois, or they used to blow horns, the shayfres. V'al tartzum they called tzvaches, or just all the yellings. And these were just different nuances, different noises that would mate during war, and for each one, you have a special isser, a special azara, not to be afraid. Why shouldn't the Yidden be afraid? It makes sense to be afraid. Because you have Hashem. They're coming to fight you with Basav Adam. You're coming to fight this war with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Plishtim bo b'netzchenish al-Goliath. The Plishtim fought the war with Goliath. Who defeated Goliath? David. That's the famous David and Goliath. So David HaMelech kills Goliath. David HaMelech was a significant underdog. Al piderech hateva, he should not have won that battle. Why did he win? And this is what they would remind him. They see this Am Rab Mimcha, so the Mashiach Muhammad, who's versed in Tanakh and Jewish history, starts telling him different stories where you find that the underdog won. B'nei Amoin. Bo'u b'netzchenish al-shevach. The B'nei Amoin. This is a lesser known story. They came and they had their warrior who was shevach. Maho yaseifai. What was the end of shevach? L'seif nafal b'charev. He fell in the sword. V'naflu as Amoin. And his nation fell as well. For Atem, you, however, don't have to be afraid, because Atem Kain, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Ahilichim Lachem, Lilachim Lachem. What specifically do the Yidden have? This Lashon, Hashem Elokeichem Ahilichim Lachem. Hashem is with you. What does it mean, with you? It's the Machna Aron, is referring to the Aron, and we'll see more about that in the Gemara. So the Mishnah said that the Mashiach Muhammad B'shoshem Medaber Elo'am would speak B'Lashon HaKodesh. Now how do you know he spoke B'Lashon HaKodesh? Because that's what the Pasuk says, V'daber Elo'am. V'daber Elohim means B'loshon HaKodesh. Frek the Gemara, my comment, where do you see V'daber Elohim means B'loshon HaKodesh? Hachi comment. Shenemer, it says V'daber, somewhere else it says Moshe Yedaber. Just like the Yedaber means B'loshon HaKodesh, it's referring to Kabbalah Satorah. Afkam B'loshon HaKodesh, here too it means V'loshon HaKodesh. Tanu Rabbana, V'nigash HaKoyen, V'diber Elohim. The Koyen is going to step forward, he's going to speak to the nation. Yochel Kol Koyen Shir. I would think any Koyen, Talmud Loim, V'dibru HaShoyter. It says the Kohen is going to say his piece, and then the Shoitrim are going to say their piece. Mash Shoitrim b'mamuna, just like the Shoitrim were appointed, you're not born a Shoiter, you're appointed a Shoiter. So too, Av Kohen b'mamuna. It's not just any Kohen, because the Kohen, you're born. It has to be someone that was actually appointed for this job. Ve'im a Kohen Gadol, so maybe it means the Kohen Gadol. Also the Loshe, v'nigash ha-Kohen. With the hey idea, maybe it means duk kohen, the kohen gadol. Says the Gemara, dum yed shoyter, ma shoyter sheyesh mamuna al gabav. Just like the shoyter, he's not on the top of the food chain. He's a mamuna, but somebody was mamana him. There's somebody on top of him. Af kohen sheyesh mamuna al gabav. There's somebody who's on top of him. Kohen gadol nami ho'ikam melech. Doesn't the kohen gadol have someone on top of him? There's the melech. Says the Gemara, ba'avoydasoy ka'amar. The melech and the kohen gadol not in the same line of work. So the melech is on top of the food chain. In his line of work, and the Kohen is on top of his line of work, the Kohen Gadol. But in terms of Kohuna, the Kohen Gadol is on top. Thus, Dumya the Shaitrim would suggest that it can't be the Kohen Gadol. It has to be somebody else. Ve'ema Skan, maybe it's the Skan Kohen Gadol, says the Gemara, Skan lav mamunahu. The Skan is not considered a mamuna at all. And that's because the Skan doesn't really have a job. The Tanya relented to the Braisa. Omer Abchanina, Skan HaKoyanim Lomo Skam. Omer Abchanina, Skan HaKoyanim Lomo Skam Amuna. What was the job of the Skan? Shem Ira by Psul B'Kan Godel, Nichas HaMasham HaShtachta. But Rashi explains exactly, we always say this, vice president, while he has his job, while he's in office, he has no job. It's only afterwards, if he ever gets ousted, if the Kohen Gadol, something ever happens, he becomes Pasul, or if he dies, then he would step in, and he would fill his place. But as long as he's just the Skan, he's not considered a Mamun at all. So we have the Kohen, he's a Mamun, it can't be the Skan, can't be the Kohen Gadol, so it must be, by process of elimination, there's a new Kohen, and this Kohen is the Kohen that's the Meshuach Muchama. We talk about the Skan Kohen Gadol a lot, but just one, Hoysafa, Lashon HaRambam, and Perek, Dalet, Halacha Tezayin. What was the job of the Skan Kohen Gadol? Umeman and Kohen Acher, Yielu Kohen Gadol, Kamei HaMishnah Lamelech. So number one, the Rambam refers to the Skan Kohen Gadol like the Mishnah Lamelech. V'hu HaNikra Skan, V'hu HaNikra Mamuna, V'yia Oymed Liyamin Kohen Gadol Tomid. Wherever the Kohen Gadol went, the Skan Kohen Gadol was always standing on his right side. V'zeh Kovod Uloi. It's a Kovod for the Kohen Gadol. And then the Rambam gives him a job. V'kol HaKohanim Mitachas Yad HaSkan. Or at least it sounds like it's some sort of job. Not sure exactly what that line means. But he was like the Mishnah Lamelech, says the Rambam. He always stood to the right of the Kohen Gadol. That's who the Skan Kohen Gadol was. But either way, this wasn't the Skan Kohen Gadol. This was a special Kohen that was appointed for this job. V'omar aleihem Shema Yisrael, says the Gemara, Maishno Shema Yisrael. See, he begins with the word Shema Yisrael. Why did he begin with Shema Yisrael? Omer Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shema Yechoy. Omer Lamakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Afilu loy kiyamtem ela kriyash mashachas ve'arvis iyatem nimsorim biyodem. He began with Shema Yisrael to say that even if the only thing, the only mitzvah you were mekayim was kriyash mashachas ve'arvis, that in itself would be enough. That would be a schus for you not to fall prey. Al yerech levavchem al tiru. Tanu Rabbana. Kamayim medaber imam. The Kohen would speak twice to the nation. Achas besafer, once as they're leaving to war. V'achas b'mulchama, one at war. Besafer mayu imam. What would you say at the saper? Shimu dvarai ma'archi ha'mulchama. V'chizru b'mulchama. Number one, he would prepare them for war. And number two, anyone that wasn't supposed to go fight. Mi'o ish, ha'shabana bayis, not to care him. They don't all have to go home. U'b'mulchama mayu imam. What do you tell him at war? Al yerech levavchem al tiru v'al tachpizu v'al tartzu. Don't be afraid. That's what he told him at war. Why four lashonos of don't be afraid? Keneged arba dvarim shoiv dekichavim oisam magifin. That's with their shields. Umariim shoifres svachim deyel v'roimsim. They stamp with their horses. Keneged those four things. So the next Gemara is going to elaborate on the end of the Mishnah, which is the story of Goliath. So the story of David and Goliath is just a little bit of really divrei psicha regarding the sugya of the Meshuach Muhammad. So we have the Meshuach Muhammad. He's a Kohen, and he was appointed for a very specific job. His job was to lead the Yidden into battle. What did he say? So the Torah outlines very specifically what he said. Shema Yisrael, don't be afraid, etc., etc. Did he do any more than that, or is that all he did? Meaning he just read off a script, teleprompter, this is what he's supposed to say, and he's done? Or was he actually a fighter? Was he actually a general? So from reading the Psukim and from learning the Gemara's and Meshuch Mechama, it's not clear. But there is a sugya, Mesachtes Nazir, that we learned not so long ago. And tucked away in that sugya, there's a Lashon of Tosfos, and there's a Pirish Arash, and this is the Makar that the Achrenim have, that the Meshuach Mechama did more than just recite these psukim. The Gemara over there is discussing the pecking order, the hierarchy within the world of Kahuna. So there was a Kohen Gadol, there was a Skan Kohen Gadol, there was a Meshuach Mechama, there's a Kohen Sha'avar, he was once Kohen Gadol, but now he's a Kohen Gadol Emeritus. He became Kohen Gadol through Shemana Mishcha, became Kohen Gadol because he's Meruba Begadim. There's different levels of Kahuna Gedolah. So the Gemara is asking, which is greater? So one of these, the Gemara says, is Meshuach Mechama, the Skan Kohen Gadol, Eze Mehem Adif. So the Gemara says, if they're both drowning at the same time and you have to save one of them, which one should you save? Says the Gemara, save the Meshuach Mechama. Why? Because the Rabbim need the Meshuach Mechama more than they need the Skan. Why do the Rabbim need the Meshuach Mechama? Zok Tosfos Nazir Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Meshuach Mechama Adif the Chazila Mechama Shenesman Elokach Lotzeis Im Ha'am Lemechama. So Tosfos, because the job of the Meshuach Mechama is to go out together with the nation and to fight a war. Thus, he's somebody that's needed. The Rush adds one word. Kol erech ha-melchama nasa al-piv. All the strategies, everything that happens at war, all happens al-piv. It all happens based on what he's saying. And being that it all happens based on what he's saying, therefore, he's somebody that the Rabbim needs. So it's very clear, seems from these Rishayim, Tosfos and the Rush, they didn't just say their piece, but actually kol erech ha-melchama nasa al-piv. Ha'ara number one. Ha'ara number two, and we're going to end up with halacha l'maisa. Ha'ara number two is a Lashon HaRambam in... Not Halacha L'maaseh, in Yonah D'Yoma. In Perek Dalet Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam says, we know that all Sororis go over Beirusha. So if your father was a Rav, you can technically Yarshin it. The Malachim, Rechavim became the next king after Shlomo Melech. Says the Rambam, Meshuach Mechama Im B'nai Mesmana Tachtov. That the Meshuach Mechama's son did not take over, he didn't become the next Meshuach Mechama. Ela Harei B'nai Kishara Kehanim. He's like a regular Kohen. Im Nimshach L'Mechama, Nimshach, V'im Loi Nimshach, Loi Nimshach. What's the reason for it? So I saw in Reb Chaim Kanievsky Sefer Derech Chochma, which is on Rambam Hilchas Beis Abchira and Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, he says as far, and it's really poshit, he says the reason is because what was the job of the Meshuach Mechama? His job was to lead the nation into war. You can't yarshin that job. Either you're worthy to be commander-in-chief or you're not worthy to be a commander-in-chief. There's certain shtelers that maybe you can get Beirusha, but this is something that's critical. The Rabbim need you. So if you're not a military strategist, you are not qualified to be the Meshuach Mechama. So this is one thing that can't go over Beirusha. The Vel tells a story that in the times of the Chafetz Chaim, there was a certain Kehila where the Rav passed away, and his son wanted to become the Ma'al Mokim. He wanted to be the Rav. And people didn't want him to be Rav, so they went to the Chafetz Chaim. He's the Rav Tainit. I get it, Beirusha. It's a schos. Zerora goes over Beirusha. I should be the next Rav in the city. So the Chafetz Chaim quoted this Rambam, where the Rambam says that the Meshuach Mechama didn't go over Beirusha. And the Chafetz Chaim said, why? He says, because to fight a war, you can't yarshin. Either you're qualified or you're not qualified. He said, once upon a time, the job of a Rav was to be a figurehead. That's all he had to do. He says, but today, there's a war raging outside. He was referring to the Haskalah and all the Western influences that were starting to permeate the ghetto and the Heimische Kreisen. So he said, today a Rav has to be a Loichim. He has to be a Meshuach Mechama. That's not something that goes over Beirusha. But either way, it's clear then that the Meshuach Mechama wasn't just someone who recited certain psukim in Parsha Shoftim. He actually led the Yidden into battle. It's a Tosa, it's a Rosh, and it's the beer in this Rambam right here. He had to be someone that was Baki B'Tachsise Mechama. But I'll just tell you one fascinating thing. And that is, there's a Sifri in Parshas Matos, and it's Darshin, the Psukim over there, in Parshas Matos. Specifically, it says, Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata. So we're going to just jump right into the middle of the Sifri. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata, Yud Beis, Elef Mata, Amadoyim, Lechom Matos, Yisrael, Tishchuk, Litzavah, Lahavi, Yashiftei, Shalevi. It's coming to be Marbe's extra words over there. It's coming to be Marbe's Sheva Levi. That Sheva Levi also fought the war. Zop de Groh, on the side, Girsa Sagra, it's the wrong Girsa. The real Girsa is not Lahavi at Shevet Levi, but rather Lahoitzi Shiftei Shel Levi. It's coming to exclude. Shevet Levi did not fight wars. In fact, it's a Mefurish Rambam. This is a very well-known Rambam. It's a Rambam that's quoted in yeshivas all the time. This is a classic. But either way, the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel, where the Rambam famously says that all the schools that Hashem and everything Hashem promised Shev Levi, lo yishev Levi b'vav. So over there, the Rambam describes a little bit about Shev Levi. V'lama leizachol Levi benachas Eretz Yisrael. Why did Levi not get to Yarshin Eretz Yisrael? Ubevizasim achliv, or to shear the loot. Because Shev Levi has this very specific job. His job is to serve Hashem, etc. Chenemar yoru mishpatach liyavz raskol yisrael lefichach huvde lu midarki yoylam. It's for that reason that they were set aside midarki loy orchel milchama kishay yisrael v'loy noichalim v'loy zoichal azuchay chufam. Says the Rama, one of the things Levi doesn't have, loy orchel milchama. Where the Rama get loy orchel milchama? This is free. The gross gears on this are free. Lahitzi a shift on Levi. Levi, they don't yash in the land. They don't work. They don't this. They don't that. One of the things they don't do is v'loy orchel milchama. They didn't fight any wars. I was thinking it could be the pshat is. Pasha, you learned they're exempt from fighting the war. They don't have to worry about it. But there's a Gemara Makis Daf Yudam and Aleph. Amr Bishul ben Levi. Ma'id chsev. What's pshat in the pasuk that says Oymdois hoyu raglenu b'sharaych v'shalayim mi garam lano raglenu shiamdu b'milchama? What caused that the Yidden should have a kiyum in Milchama, Shari Yerushalayim, Shaya Oiskim B'Torah. It was the Torah that was being learned in Yerushalayim. The Yidden always understood that when they fight a war, they have to fight on two fronts. They have to fight on the battlefield, but they also have to fight in Beis Medrash. And if they're not fighting in Beis Medrash, they're always going to lose the war. Shevet Levi is Erech Milchama. It's not that they're exempt. They don't not play a role in this Milchama. They play the role of Shari Yerushalayim on the other front. But either way, it could be that's the shot. Shevet Levi, they didn't fight wars. It's ironic. The Meshuach Melchama was a Kohen. Right? Kohanim are from which Shevet? They're from Shevet Levi. So on the one hand, the Levium didn't fight wars. On the flip side, you have the Kohen, who's from Shevet Levi, he's actually the chief of staff. Why is this in Yonah Diyema? Because who fought the war of Hanukkah? It was Matisyo and his five sons. These were all Kayanim. They're all Shevet Levi, and they're all fighting wars. You have a Rambam, they're not Erchim Milchama. And the whole Milchama of Hanukkah happened through Shevet Levi. It happened through the Kayanim. But just one final Ha'ara, and that is, how did one become a Meshuach Milchama? Shemin HaMishcha. That's why he was called the Meshuach Milchama. And it's a Gemara in the Masechta Sehoris. He was Nimshach, but the same way he became a Kohen Gadol, that's how he became the Meshuach Milchama. Zok de Minchas Chinuch, it should come out then, back to the envelope arithmetic. We know that the Gemara says, the Yeshio HaMelech, at the end of Bayis Rishon, hid the Shemin HaMishcha. And after that point, there was no Shemin HaMishcha anymore. Means during Bayis Sheni, there was also no Shemin HaMishcha. It should come out then, it wasn't possible to have a Meshuach Milchama. Zok de Minchas Chinuch Kishma. You'll tell me that maybe it is possible to have Meshuach Milchama. Because just like you can have a Kohen Gadol without Shemin HaMishcha, maybe you can have a Meshuach Milchama without Shemin HaMishcha. But says the Minchas Chinuch is not a cheshma. Because how do you have a Kohen Gadol without Shemin HaMishcha? Meruba Begadim. There's two ways to be Kohen Gadol. Either you shmir him with Shemin HaMishcha, or he puts on his Shemin Begadim. Zok to Minchas Chinuch, that's good for a Kohen Gadol who used to wear the Shemin Begadim. But the Rambam says that the Meshuach Milchama didn't wear the Shemin Begadim. He only wore the Dalud Begadim. There's a raid on that maybe for tomorrow. But he didn't wear the Shemin Begadim. If he didn't wear the Shemin Begadim, you can't give him Shemin Begadim and make him into Meshuach Milchama. It doesn't make sense. Kohen Gadol who wore the Shemin Begadim, you give him the Shemin Begadim, he becomes a Kohen Gadol. But the Meshuach Milchama didn't wear the Shemin Begadim. So he can't become the Meshuach Milchama by wearing the Shemin Begadim. The only way he could become then the Meshuach Milchama is by Shemin HaMishcha. They didn't have Shemin HaMishcha. So it should come out then in Al Pi Cheshbin that once Yeshio HaMelech hid the Shemin HaMishcha, it wasn't possible to have a Meshuach Milchama. Freik the Mechaz Chinuch and Mitzvah Kuv Zayin, I have one kasha on that. Because we all know the story of Chanukah. And the story of Chanukah happened with Matisyo Kohen Gadol and Yehuda Maccabi. And he says, if you look in Sefer Yosifun, Perek Chaf, he even tells you where to go in Sefer Yosifun. Yosifun, the greatest story of Josephus says that Matisyo Kohen Gadol and Yehuda Maccabi were Meshuchei Milchama. So Freik the Mechaz Chinuch Akasha, how could he call them Meshuchei Milchama? There was no Meshuch Milchama because there was no Shemin HaMishcha. As I Freik the Mechaz Chinuch, says the Mechaz Chinuch, you have to say that when he called them Meshuchei Milchama, he didn't mean Meshuchei Milchama with the Ganzkeit. He just meant Derech Kovid, that just like the Meshuch Milchama once upon a time used to lead them a war. In fact, if you look in the Hakdomah, the Sefer Yosifun, he himself was a Kohen. He traced himself back to the Hashmonai dynasty, and he himself said that he was a Kohen. Now, Barbanel says that maybe he was Rabbi Yosei HaKohen. We've spoken about that in the past. But he was a Kohen, and the reason, and he was one of the generals during Churban Bayis Sheni, the war against the Romans, and the reason he calls himself a Meshuach Milchama. But either way, he says not that he was a real Meshuach Milchama, it was all done al derech kovet. But I saw in the Brisker Rav, in the stencils, they bring from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that was the Briskerov's brother, Rav the Grama Levi, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who declared, Bidi Yevet, could a Kohen Gadol be the Mashiach Melchama or not? Meaning, you had to be appointed for Mashiach Melchama. The Kohen Gadol, who already has a riboy of kahuna, could he be Mashiach Melchama or not? So it's a whole arichos that he has, and at the end says Rav Moshe Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, that if you hold that the Kohen Gadol was able to be the Mashiach Melchama, maybe that's what Yosifun meant. He meant not that he was appointed specifically to be a Mashiach Melchama. You couldn't be appointed to be a Mashiach Melchama. You didn't have the Shemana Mishcha. What it means is that he was the Kohen Gadol, and by being Kohen Gadol, he was able to act as Mashiach Melchama, because Bechlau Masayimana, included in the title Kohen Gadol, is also the title Mashiach Melchama. Yesterday we began Perek Mashiach Melchama, which deals with the way the Yidden used to go to war. And although the Yidden used to fight wars, and they had armies with military strategy, etc., but the leader of the Yidden in war wasn't just a general, he was a Kohen. He was a Kohen that was anointed specifically to be the Mashiach Melchama. He had many milas over regular Kohanim. He had more Kedusha than a regular Kohen. The Rambam says that the Mashiach Melchama only wore the Dalet Begadim. But the fact is, the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, the Fine Gimel Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says that there were times that the Mashiach Melchama wore the Shmoinim Begadim. And that was before they went to war. They would ask the Urim V'tumim, should they go to war? Will they be successful? There were different questions that they would consult the Urim V'tumim with. When they consulted the Urim V'tumim, the Gemara says the Mashiach Melchama was the one who would wear the Urim V'tumim. Now the Urim V'tumim was in the Choshen. That was part of the Shmoinim Begadim. So it's a Gemara Masechtas Yuma that says that the Mashiach Melchama at times would himself wear the Shmoinim Begadim. In fact, the last Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash is Matmiya on the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't bring the Salach. The Rambam says simply that the Mashiach Melchama was like a Kohen Hedyot. He only wore the Dalet Begadim. It's not true. There was a time that he wore the Shmoinim Begadim. And the truth is, the Gemara there in Yuma says even further that there were five halachas that the Mashiach Melchama had like the Kohen Gadol. His Hilchas Avelus was like that of a Kohen Gadol, Loi Peireya, Loi Peirem. He was only allowed to marry a Psula, he can't marry an Almana. So the Mashiach Melchama is a quasi Kohen Gadol. He's the one that led the Yidden into war. And we started seeing in the Mishnah and throughout the Daf, today's Daf, tomorrow's Daf, we'll see more Bahar Chava, exactly what the role of the Mashiach Melchama was and how it was that the Yidden fought wars. So the Yidden fought wars, but there was very much a theme of Eilav Borecha ve'Eilav Asusim v'Anachnu b'Shem Hashem Nasker. The Yidden fought wars somewhat differently than the way that everybody else did. Just one ha'ara of the pasuk begins Ki seitzei la milchama al oivecha. If you look at the word oivecha, it's spelled Aleph Yud Vez Chaf. The words Ki seitzei la milchama al oivecha are mentioned again in the Torah, right in the beginning of Parashas Ki seitzei. Same words. Ki seitzei la milchama al oivecha. If you look at the words over there, the word oivecha is spelled differently. Oivecha is aleph yud vez yud chaf. So in Parashas Shoftim, it's aleph yud vez chaf. There's no yud between the vez and the end of chaf. In Parashas Ki seitzei, it's aleph yud vez yud end of chaf. Zatzon does naim l'toyro, the Lutzker Rav, he's medayek. Why chaser yud in Parashas Shoftim? And why is it mole in Parashas Ki seitzei? So he says, Diktuk 101. Oivecha chaser would imply one. Oivecha mole, aleph, yud, vez, yud, chav, would imply many. Parsha Shoft and the Yidden are going out to fight the war. Ki seitzei la milchama al oivecha, v'ro'iso sus v'rechav avram imcha. The Torah says, l'siru mehem, don't be afraid, ki Hashem alekecha imach. Says the Torah that you're going out to fight a war, you're going to see a nation, you should have betochen that Hashem is going to protect you. And even though they're an avram imcha, still you should view them as if they're oivecha chaser, as if they're all one. It's easy. It's not going to be a big deal for Hashem to be able to do this job, because as many as they are, you're being protected by Hashem. And for Hashem, what's the big deal? Hashem could split the sea if he has to, as he's done in the past. So you should look at Oivecha as being chaser. Parshas Ki seitzei begins after the war. Ki seitzei la milchama al oivecha unesone Hashem alekecha biyadecha. You were already successful. V'shaviso shivyoi. That's already after the war. After the war, when it comes time to thanking Hashem, to give shvach v'idah, to say al anisim v'al apurkan, on the fact that you were successful, you were able to overcome the am rab mimcha, now you're not supposed to see them as a small nation. Now to the contrary, now you want to see it, oivecha b'loshin rabim, count everyone, realize how much Hashem saved you, how great the miracle was, that it was Gibor Biad Chaloshim. That's what you want to emphasize. Rabbim Biad Ma'atim, when you're going out to fight, you have to have betochen, then you should see them as a yochid. But after the war, to the contrary, then you want to see it as a rabbin, so that you'll properly give shvach v'idah to Hashem for the incredible miracle that he performed. When I saw this vart, it brought to mind a story that I once heard, that at the beginning of the Six-Day War, so when the State of Israel was about to fight with their neighbors, so the Ponovitcher Rav reached out to the Prime Minister of Israel at the time, who I believe was Levi Eshkol, and he asked him if he wanted that the Ponovitcher Talmidim should go out and fight. He said it was Sakonas Nefashis, this was Pekuach Nefesh. The Ponovitcher Rav always had good relations with the government of Israel, and his question was, if you want our Bachrim to come, it's a Shiloh, Sakonas Nefashis, we're ready to suit up, we're ready to do whatever we have to do. And he turned to the Ponovitcher Rav, the Levi Eshkol, he said, at this point, Al Piderech HaTeva, we have no chance of winning this war. So if you're going to suit up, we'll have another few hundred Talmidim, another thousand Talmidim, it's not going to make a difference. You can contribute more to our success by sitting in Beis Medrash and saying Tehillim and learning Torah, like this will be successful. That was before the war. After the war happened, and it happened really quickly, and the Yidden had an unbelievable miracle, a miracle that we haven't had probably in thousands of years, where in 6 days they were able to obliterate their enemies. It came time to recognize where this war came from. The Ponovitcher Rav said, then all everybody was saying was Koichi Vaitzim Yadi. Nobody called the Ponovitcher Rav to give his Talmid HaMashkayach for all the learning that they did and all the Torah that they were learning in Ponovitch Yeshiva. Just the opposite. Before the war, they were afraid. There was an Avraham Mincha. Then they understood that maybe there's a power of Torah. But afterwards, then they had a whole different spin. Then it was a Koichi Vaitzim Yadi. The Lutzker Rav saying it's supposed to be just the opposite. Farda Mechama, it's a Vecha. You have to have Betochen, you have to realize everything is going to happen. Nach dem Chama, then you should have this hergish that everything that happens happens from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Either way, we Mishnah discussed the Yidden fighting wars. Even if you see an Avraham Imcha, don't be intimidated, don't be afraid. Hashem could always help you. And from there, the Mishnah went on to discuss two stories in our history, in Tanakh, where there were great upsets, where the underdog, Klal Yisrael, was able to defeat the heavy favorite, which were the Umay Sa'ilah. The first one mentioned was David and Goliath. So Goliath is this big, mighty, plishti warrior, and he's giving the Yidden a lot of tzaris, and the Yidden can't figure out a way to give Zichron Etzer with Goliath. And David HaMelech, who's described as being a small, meager kind of person, he's the one who is able to defeat Goliath. That's an example of where, just because on paper it didn't make sense that David should be able to defeat Goliath, but if you add, you incorporate HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the equation, it does make sense. So on that note, we have an Amid Gemara of digression discussing the story of David and Goliath. Says the Gemara, Goliath, Am Rabbi Yechanan, Sha'ama B'Gilui Panim, thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. The reason Goliath was called Goliath was because he had Gilui Panim towards Hashem. Rashi says, Gilui Panim, one word, Chutzpah. Shenema Brulochan Ish, V'yered Eilai. Goliath said, find somebody, told the Jews, find your strongest person, your best day, my worst, and bring it on. I have no problem. V'yera de'lai. V'ein ish el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ish is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemer Hashem ish mulcham. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said, then not only am I going to find an ish to take you down, Harini ma'pile al yad ben ish. Shenemer v'david ben ish efrasi. As Amar Rabbi Yechem Hashem Ramnei. B'shalei Shem Kemis Lachta. Piv v'yisir Rasha. There were three times that Goliath said something that ultimately caused him to have a downfall. Echad, he wasn't careful with his words. Brulachem ish v'yera de'lai. Find someone and let him come down on me. It sounds almost like he's suggesting, he's asking for someone to be Yere Delai. The concept of Al Tiftach Pelasatan. Goliath wasn't careful of that. So he said the words V'yered Eli, which ultimately is what happened. V'idach, another place where he said something similar. Em Yuchali Hilochim Iti V'hikani. Is there anyone that can come fight with me and defeat me? Goliath again said, defeat me. The concept of Al Tiftach Peh. V'idach, in the third place, the Kamalei L'David, HaKelev Anoichi Katabo Alai B'makolis. What am I, a dog that you're coming after me with sticks? Again, Katabo Alai. Three places where Goliath slipped up and almost with his words suggested that he would be defeated. Faith to Gemara, Dov Anami Amalei. But if you're going to be Medayik what Goliath said, it's only fear to also be Medayik what David said. And by David, you find something similar. David said, HaKelev Anoichi, Ata Bo Alai Becherev Bechanisu Bekidoin. Again, Ata Bo Eli. Hadar Amalei, says the Gemara, it's true, David said that, but David immediately clarified what he meant, because he said, you're coming to me, b'cher b'chanes v'kidoin. But if you read the whole pasuk, v'noichi ba'i lecha, I'm coming at you, b'shem Hashem tzvakos, elokei marches Yisrael. So it's true, if you just look at those words in a vacuum, ata ba'i lai, b'cher b'chanes v'kidoin, it would suggest an altiftach pelasatan. But if you read the whole narrative, it clearly doesn't. It says the Gemara, v'yigash ha'plishti hashkem v'erev. So Goliath is the plishti, and he comes Hashkem Vaherev. Omar Rabbi Yechanan. What's this idea that he was coming after Klal Yisrael? Hashkem Vaherev in the morning and in the evening. It was Kedei Levatla Mikriyishma Shachavs Vaharbis. Because that's the time when you're supposed to learn Kriyishma. So he came during Zman Kriyishma. We'll see more about that later. And for 40 days he stood on a mountain. He intimidated Klal Yisrael. Omar Rabbi Yechanan Kenegad Arbaim Yoim Shitnevim Torah. It's Kenegad the 40 days that the Torah was given. What does that mean? So Rashi says, She'ichara Torah Le'eskabel. There were 40 days of a delay before Klal Yisrael was mekabel the Torah. Because after Moshe Rabbeinu stood in Har Sinai, Moshe went up to Shamayim, and 40 days later is really when they received the Luchos, when they received the Torah. It was for Kenegah, those 40 days that Goliath had koyach to stand against Klal Yisrael for 40 days. So exactly what this means, what was the punishment of Moshe being in Shamayim for 40 days, is Sarach Bir. But if you look at the Marsha says a slightly different shot. He says, we know that Koyach HaKedusha and Koyach HaTumah are always Zeh L'umazeh. So just like in Koyach HaKedusha, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to stand on the Har Elokim for 40 days, so too in the Koyach HaKedusha, in the Koyach HaTumah, Goliath was able to stand on this mountain and intimidate Klal Yisrael for a period of 40 days. Vayetze ish habinayim mimachnois plishtim. So this is a pasuk that's describing Goliath. So he's described as an ish habinayim from the camp of the plishtim. Goliath Shema, his name was Goliath. Mi Gas, he came from Gas. Govay shesh amos vazores. And his height was 6 amos and azores. It's not 6 feet and something, it's 6 amos and something. So he was fairly large, says the Gemara. So the first description given to describe Goliath is he's an ish habeinayim. So says the Gemara, my beinayim, amar av, shemavunim b'kol mum. He didn't have any mumim. He was perfect. V'shmul amar, beinan ish ba'achiv. As we'll see later in the Gemara, he was only one of 4 brothers, and he was the beinani. He wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the strongest, but he also wasn't the shortest, and he wasn't the weakest. He was the beinani ish ba'achiv. V'reb shelo amar, shu asik a binyan. He was built like a binyan. Reb Yechanan amar, bar meo papi v'chada nani. So what does that mean? Zok Rashi, Barmeya Papi Vichadnani, Bena Taruvois, Shabo Harbi Anoshim al Ime Belaila Achas. The night that Goliath was conceived by his mother, there were many, many men that were boil his mother. The Gemara says 100. I don't know if that's a Lashon Guzma or if that's literal, but there were many, many men that were boil his mother on that night. Vinisabra Menechemihem. From one of them, she conceived. Nimtzah echad aviv v'kula menafin. So it was a little confusing to him to know exactly who his father is. There's 100 people that may be his father. One of them really was. That's this idea of beinayim. He came from a taruvois. Miloshen taruvois bar meya papi v'chadonani. Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that says this point, but takes it to the next level. It's not just that there were 100 people that were boil Goliath's mother, and we're not sure who the real father is. One of them was the real father. Tosfos says they were all the real father. How's it possible? So the Yerushalmi says it's possible for a woman to be nisaber for many, many people. It's possible. Not just that, Tosfos says that when the Gemara says v'chad nani, it doesn't mean one father. Rashi said 100 boils and one father. The way the Yerushalmi is learning that really all boils and all fathers, that all have a little bit of their zera here in this child. So what's the v'chad nani? It means one dog. Not only was she nivela to 100 men, she was also nivela to a dog. And by the way, the dog is also a shtikalatata over here. Goliath had in him a little bit of the zera of a caliph. So this Tosfos is a Tosfos that's discussed by the Poskim. Is it possible for a woman to be nisaber from 2 children? From 2 fathers. I saw in the Sha'arim Etzion Balachi, he brings from the Shailos Teshuvos Beis Yitzchak. What would be if a woman is nisaber from 2 men? One is a Yisrael and one is a Kayan. Is he a half a Kayan? So already all the Balei Drush and the Poskim, there's different things, different Shailos that can be discussed, but this is the Maramakim right here. It's a Tosfos tucked away, Soita Membeis Amadbeis, B'shem the Yerushalmi, that Goliath didn't have one father. Goliath had many fathers, and one of his fathers was no other than a dog. Says the Gemara, what was his real name? Migas. It said that he came from Gas. Tani Reb Yosef, why Migas? This is a reference to his mother, Shakol Doshen Es Imoy Kigaskas. As you see from the previous Gemara, his mother was a Zoyna. We'll see soon who his mother was, by the way. So his mother was a Zoyna, and people, they used to be Dosh, the mother, like a gas, like a wine press, and that's why it says Migas. Ksiv, it says Ma'arois, Viksiv Ma'archis. So that's another pasuk that's describing Goliath. For whom Medaber Imam, Vihine Isha Beinayim Oilo, Goliath HaPlishti Shemoy, Migas, Mimarchis Plishtim. So it says Ma'arois, that's the Kree, but that's the Ksiv, but the Kree is Ma'archis. Tani Rab Yosef Shakol Herobi Imoy. Ma'ara is miloshen hera, that's tchilas bia, it's a loshen of bia. Ksiv harafa, viksiv arpa. So who was Goliath's mother? We know she's a Zayna. Who was she? So the pasuk describes her as being harafa. But the Gemara asks the kasha. There's another pasuk somewhere that refers to as arpa. Now arpa, we're aware of, Rus and arpa, they're the two daughters-in-law of Nami. Rus ultimately follows her shviger, Nami, she's Megayer, and Arpa turns around. From the Gemara's kasha of harafa and Arpa being a stira, it's clear that the Gemara thinks that that Arpa is the same harafa, and it's Goliath's mother. So who was Goliath's mother? The short answer, it was Arpa. So we'll see more about that momentarily. But first, the Gemara asks a stira. Is it harafa, or is it Arpa? Rav Shmuel Chadam, harafa Shema. Really, her name was harafa. But lam nikr Shema Arpa. Why was she called Arpa? Sha'akol Arfa Noisa Me'achareah. It's Milosh and Orif. It's the back of her neck, because that's the way people will boil her through and one says Arpa, Shma, really her name was Arpa, Faloma Nikosh Shma Harafa, Shakol Doshan Oisa Karifois. Because the men, they would boil her, they used to crush her like Karifois. Karifois are crushed kernels. That's one pasuk where you find the word Harifois in the context of something crushed. So Harifais is crushed, that's why she would be called Harafa, because they crushed her. Ves Arbas, Eile, Yuldu La Harafa. Harafa didn't just have Goliath, she had four children. Vayiplu, Biyad, Bigas, Vayiplu, Biyad, David, Ubiyad, Avad. Mind you, who are her four sons? Amrav Chizda, Saf, Umadoin, Goliath, Vayishbi, Benoiv. Those were their names. Vayiplu, Biyad, David, Ubiyad, Avad. Dechsiv, why did they fall in the hands of David? Because the pasuk says, Vatishak Arpa, Lichamoisa. Arpa kissed her mother-in-law. She left. She did not want to follow her mother-in-law to Eretz Yisrael. Verus dafgaba. Whereas Rus stayed with her. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavoyu b'nei ha-neshuka, v'yiplu b'yad b'nei ha-nevuka. Let the grandchildren, the descendants of the neshuka, which is David HaMelech, who came from Rus, let them be the ones to defeat the b'nei ha-devuka, which is Goliath and his entourage, who came from Arpa. She is the one that was the Neshuka. Dara Shrova, Bishar Arbid Moy, Shayrida Arpa al Chamoisa, Zachsa Vyatsu Mimeno Arba Giborim. It was in the Schar of four tears that Arpa cried before she left her mother-in-law, that she was Zaycha to have grandchildren for Giborim. Shenemer Vatiseno, Koileno, Vatifkeno. Oid, Vatifkeno is a Lashon Rabbim. She cried two tears. Oid, another two. Thus, the four tears is what beget for her these four children. It's interesting that Arpa gets rewarded for her four tears. And I think it's probably related to the idea of Sharid Mois Leininolo. And even Arpa, who we see from here, was a Rasha, but a tear is something that never goes unanswered. And even this Rasha Arpa, for the four tears that she cried, she was Zaycha and she had these four Gibayim. Why is it that Sharid Mois Leininolo? So I'm not sure, but it could be the Pshat is very Pashit. Because Tila has to be Bekavana. It has to come from your lev. We spoke about it recently, that the Iker Tfilah, of course, is always Avodah Shebelev. A person can talk and have zero kavana what it is he's saying, but it's hard to cry if you don't mean it. It's very hard to fake tears. So when somebody cries, that's a sign that not only is what he's feeling and what he's saying coming from his lev, but it's coming me'umke deliba. That's where tears come from. When a person davens a tefillah b'kavana, the mice are symbolic of that. Sharit mois leininolo. But either way, that's Arpa. She gets rewarded for her four tears. Ksiv, it says chetz chanisa, describing the spear of Goliath. So one place it says chetz chanisa, b'kirina, and eitz chanisa. The kri is eitz. Is it chetz or is it eitz? Amr Rebbe Lazar. Adayin lo yigiyanu l'chasi shvachash alezer rasha. That really it was an eitz. The reason we use this lashon of chetz is to show that everything that the pasuk said about Goliath is only mitzah shvachay. Really, he was even greater than that. So why don't we say everything? Mikan shas l'sabe shvachash rishon. See, for me, you're not allowed to just go and wax poetic about rishon. Freit the gemar v'lo lichta be klaus and just don't say anything. They do yishvachay to David. No, the reason we are saying something is we want to bring out the nest. success. So we're emphasizing what David HaMelech did by saying how great Goliath was. But Enochinami, we're only talking about Goliath to the extent that it's Mishabech David. Beyond that, it's not something we necessarily want to have anything to do with. That's why we said Mitzvah Shvachai. Beyond the Mitzvah Shvachai, we didn't say anything else. Before we go weiter, just two Ha'aris. Number one, so the Gemara says that Goliath was defeated by David HaMelech. It says the Gemara that this is really an old cheshbin that Hashem had from many, many years ago, where Arpa and Rus are together. They're both sisters-in-law. They're going together with their shviga Nami. Arpa kisses Nami. Vatishak Arpa lechamisa. She doesn't want to have anything to do with the life that Nami's living. The Ruz dafkaba. To the contrary, she becomes the paradigm of a giyores of a ger. Ultimately, Arpa has Goliath. Rus has David HaMelech and Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavayu B'nei HaNeshuka V'yiplu B'nei HaNevukah. So I remember from years ago when I learned this Gemara, it sounds almost like Arpa was punished for the fact that she didn't follow Nami. She was the Neshuka, and therefore she had Goliath, who ultimately was defeated by David HaMelech. And I never understood, what did Arpa do wrong by not following Nami? Does a Ben Noach have an obligation to be Megayer? It doesn't say she was over the Shev Mitzvah Noach. Now, the Gemara says she was a Zayna, but that has nothing to do with the fact that she was the Neshuka. That's a separate cheshbon. It sounds like from the Gemara, the reason she was punished was Yavayu Bnei HaNeshuka V'yiplu B'yad Bnei HaDavuka. The fact that she left Nami, that in itself was a reason that one day her descendants would fall to Rus. So what was wrong? Is it Usser? Is there a problem for a Ben Noach not to be Megayer? Does a Ben Noach have an obligation to be Megayer? So I found a beautiful Maramakim many years ago. The Gemara Masechtis Yevamis and Perak Acholit Staf Memches Amid Beis. The Gemara says as follows: Tanya Reb Chanani ben Benoish Reb Shem Gamliel Leimer Mipnei Ma Geirim Bizman Azem Unin VYisurim Bon Aleim. So apparently the Yidden took a survey, they did an analysis, and they realized that Geirim, people that are Megayer, had a disproportionate amount of tzaras in their lives. And the question was why? What did they do to deserve it? And the Gemara brings different shitas of Tanoim that tried explaining what it was. One Mandomer says they weren't Mekayim Dizayim Mitzvah Noyach, they're not so metaktik in mitzvahs, they don't do Miahava, they only do Miira. Acherim Oimrim, Acherim says, Acherim is always Rameir, Mitnesh. To show Atzmon, where he conned tachas kan fiyashchina. You know why they're being punished? For the fact that it took them so long to be Megayer. Why did it take you so long? You're 40 years old and you were Megayer, and where were you until you were 40? So being that it took them a while to be Megayer, they're being punished for this time that they were not Megayer. So I saw Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Zagoyes Yaivetz. The Tema, Heicha Matzinu Shebnei Noach Muzar L'Kayv. Why are we punishing them for not being Megayer? Where do you find anywhere that a Ben Noach has an obligation to keep the Tayag Mitzvah? As long as he's keeping the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, he's doing what a Ben Noach has to do. Because he was a Megayer, well, who said he has to be Megayer? V'nirali, the Hachi Perusha, Shesho Misha Sheheskimu, V'kiblu Aleim B'daitam B'lev Sholem L'Ikonis Tachas Kan Fiyashchina. It doesn't mean that every guy has an obligation to wake up in the morning, find a rabbi, and convert. That's not something that he has an obligation to do. But once a guy makes up his mind that he wants to be Megayer, at that point he has an obligation to be Megayer. And if he's Ma'acher, his Geirus, at that point, then it's going to be a problem. His Lashon is, Dahavi ki kabola bepeh, ki dekai malon le'inyin stoko. So at that point, if you're Nes'atzel and you're not Megayer, it's going to be a problem. He says, with that you can answer the Tosis Yishanim's Kasha. He brings the Tosis Yishanim and asks, that why wasn't Rus punished for the fact that it took her so long to be Megayer? For Rus, so we make a big fuss about the fact that Ruth was Megayer. Yeah, but this was later on in her life. She wasn't Megayer so early in her life. So why wasn't she Megayer earlier? And why wasn't she punished for that? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's not a kasha from this Gemara. Because really, you're not Mechuyev to be Megayer right away. It's once you make up your mind to be Megayer, then you're obligated to. From the time Ruth made up her mind to be Megayer, maybe she wasn't Nisatzel. Maybe from that point on, she was Megayer. But either way, a little Maramokim, a Makar in this discussion, whether Ben Noach has an obligation, doesn't have an obligation, Gemara Perek Acholetz, Chesam Adbeis would seem to suggest, maybe, yeah, I think this Gemara seems to suggest a little bit as well, but this Rabbi Yaakov Emden clarifies it, that it's only once you make up your mind, but before you make up your mind, not. Ha'ar number one. Ha'ar number two, so we had the Gemara that says that the Plishti, referring to Goliath, would wake up early in the morning and late at night to intimidate the Yidden. Why in the morning and night, said Rabbi Yochanan, it coincided with the Zman Kriyashma. Gidei levatlon mi Kriyashma shachis v'yarbis. Now this Gemara really is behemshech to the Gemara Naman Aleph. The Gemara Naman Aleph said that when the Mashiach Muhammad would begin his motivational speech that he gave to the Yidden, he would begin with the words Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, those were the first words that he used. Atam kreven ayin la Muhammad. So the Gemara said in Naman Aleph, my Shema Shema Yisrael, why did he begin with those words? Am Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shum ben Yechoy. Am Adam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Afilu lekiyamtem elu Kriyashma Shachas v'yarves, I atem nimsarim v'yodin. He was trying to tell them that even if you were only Makayim, Kriyashma Shachas v'yarves, in the schus of Kriyashma, you will be saved. The Maratzchios, right here in his Hagoyis on the Gemara, says that he believes that this memra of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ba'yichoy is l'shitasoy for something else Rabbi Yochanan famously said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ba'yichoy, and that is a Gemara Masechtas Menachos, Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara over there is discussing where it says in the Torah, Le'yomor Seifa HaTorah Zeh, what does it mean a person has to learn Torah Yom Vilayla? Does it mean literally you have to learn Torah Yom Vilayla all day and all night, or not? So the Gemara says, "Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Afilu leikara adam ela kriyash mashachas va'arves kaiyim layomosh. If a person learns." Says Kriyashma in the morning and at night, he's Mekayim with that. Meaning it doesn't mean the whole day and the whole night. It means you have to learn some Torah by day and some Torah by night. In fact, if all you do is Yilein Kriyashma, Shachas Va'arvis, with that already you could be Yotza. And then he throws in a little caveat, there's an asterisk, V'dover Zalaim Rufnei Amoritz. Don't tell this to an Amoritz, because then he's going to stop coming to the daf and he's going to just say Kriyashma in the morning and Kriyashma at night, and he's going to be Yotza with that. Rava Amar Mitzvah Laim Rufnei Amoritz. What are you talking about? To the contrary, it's a mitzvah to tell them. But then the Gemara says, Shaul ben Dama ben Achaisesh Rabbi Yishmael, that's Rabbi Yishmael, that ben Dama, who was Rabbi Yishmael's nephew, once asked his uncle Rabbi Yishmael, Kigoyin ani, shalamadati kol ha-teiru kula, ma'u lumay chachmas yavonis. Can I learn chachmas yavonis? So he told him, it says in the Torah, v'gis v'yayim v'layla, he says, no. By day you have to learn Torah, at night you have to learn Torah. Say you bodik, shosh, and then you don't have to learn Torah. If you can find a time that's not day and not night, then you'll be able to learn your Chachmas Yevanis. In other words, Machlekes Rav Shimon Ba'yichai and Rabbi Shmuel had to understand Vagis Vayem V'Layla. According to Rav Shimon Ba'yichai, a little Torah by day, a little Torah by night. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you always have to learn Torah. How does this stem with Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Shimon Ba'yichai, Masechtas Brachos, Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis, all the Achreinim asked that kasha. But bottom line, you have Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rashbi, that I feel like Kara Kriyashma Shachas Va'arvis, with that you could already be Yoitza, Layomash Sefer HaTorah Hazemi Picha Vagis Vayem V'Layla. Zokim Aritzchias, it's Rabbi Yochanan Lishitasai, Rabbi Shimon Ba'yichai Lishitas. That he holds that if a person says Kriyashma, you're Mekayim, you're Mitzvah Talmud Torah. And we learned the Gemara earlier in the Masechta Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis that Torah is Megan Umatzel Menah Peronios. Therefore, I feel like Kiyamtem Ela Kriyashma Shachmas Varvis. Meaning, if the Yidden are Mekayim, their Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, they'll be Nitzel Menah Peronios. That's what he was saying. And the bare minimum for Mitzvah Talmud Torah is Kriyashma Shachmas Varvis. That's Rashbi Lishitosai. Zokta Maritzchios. That's what he was saying when he told him that. One pshat. But I saw another pshat, and that is the Ben Yehoyada. The Ben Yehoyada says a pshat based on the Gemara Masechtas Brachos Daf Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara Brachos Daf Hei says as follows: Omer Reb Yitzchak, Kol Hakoyre Kriyashma Al Mitasai. Someone that says Kriyashma Al Mitasai, Kilu Oiches Cherev Shel Shtei Pies Biyodai. It's as if he's holding a cherev, a sword that has two pointy edges. Shenema Roimemoyz Kel Begroinam the Cherev Pipiyos Biyodam. Says the Ben Yehoyada that the pasuk that says that the Yidden, when they're Meshabeach Hashem, they have a cheref pipiyos, they're armed, they have a warfare that they can go to battle with. What is that referring to? It's referring to a kari kriyishma. The Gemara says kriyishma al mitasai, but it's referring to someone that's kari kriyishma. Zok the ben yoyada. You see from here that when a person says kriyishma, it gives him koyach to fight a war. Roimemoyz kel begroinam vecheref pipiyos biyadam. That's kriyishma. That's the Gemara. That as long as you're saying kriyishma filu. You're going to fight a war. If you have the schus of Kriyashma, at that point you're going to have nothing to worry about, because Kriyashma has a special power. It has a power to help you fight your wars. That's v'cher pipias biyodam. That comes through relating Kriyas Shema. The truth is, if you look at this Gemara right here, Dafei Amar Aleph, the Gemara continues. Amar Reb Yitzchak, Kolakoyer Kriyas Shema Al Mitasoi Mazikin B'Teilo Mimenu. It's a special Shmira Kereged Mazikin. The Gemara says if a person sees that the Yetzahara is overwhelming him, Yikra Kriyas Shema. He should learn Kriyas Shema. So Kriyas Shema protects from the Yetzahara. It protects from the Mazikin. It protects from your enemies. Kriyas Shema has a special koyach to protect, and that's why they will be ma'ir here the schus of Kriyas Shema. Because if the Yid didn't have the schus of Kriyas Shema, they're going to be fine. They're going to have nothing to worry about. There's an interesting Balaturim. The Balaturim says that the word Kriyas Shema begins with the ois shin, and it ends with the ois dalid. That's a shin dalid. Miloshin shade, because if a person says Kriyas Shema, it protects afilu min hashed. I'll read it to you inside. A pasuk maschol b'shin u'mesayim b'dalid hareshed shashedim borchem me'akriyas Shema b'gemara. It protects from hamazikin. That's this Gemara brachas. Doesn't quote the Gemara, but obviously that's this Gemara. That Kriyas Shema has a special koyach to protect. And in fact, we say it by Musaf Kedusha. Reading it from Nusach Svard, and then we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mimkoyma Yifem Beracham of Le'amoy, and who's he going to have Rachmanis on? V'yochayin Am Amiachdim Shemoy. So there's a special Rachmanis, there's a special Shmira, special Rachamim that Klal Yisrael is Zoichetu when they learn Kriyas Shema. So that's the idea of Kriyas Shema. Right? Tzchiyah says it's Kriyas Shema Talmud Torah of Shem Ba'yichad. That's one mahalach. The other mahalach would be the Ben Yehoyada, that is a special koyach of Kriyas Shema, that if a person learns Kriyas Shema b'kavano, it's something that will protect them. Zok to Gemara Vayter. Bnei Amoin Bo'u B'netzchoy Noi Shal Shaybach. So the first story mentioned, the Mishnah, was the story of David and Goliath. The second is the story of Shaybach. So Shaybach was also a mighty warrior. He wasn't a plishti. He came from Amoin. He too was upset by David HaMelech's army. Against all odds, the Yidden defeated Shevach. Again, that's another example where just because on paper it doesn't look like you should win, but because of Hashem, of course, Klal Yisrael is on a whole different remark. Ksiv, it says Shevach, v'ksiv Shevach. So was his name Shevach with a vase or Shevach with a face? Again, it's a machlekes Rav Shmuel. One says Shevach, his name was Shevach. Why was it called Shevach? She'asuk Shevach. He was built like a Shevach. Shevach is where the pigeons live. V'chadam haShevach Shmoy, v'lamenik Shmoy Shevach. The reason he was called Shevach, shekala roya oisay nishbach lafanav kekita. And anyone that saw him, they would melt. They would fall the way water pours out of a bucket. Ashpasay kekever pasuach kulam giborim. So this is already not talking about Goliath or Shevach. It's talking about Nebuchadnezzar's army. It's mentioned because we're talking about warriors, and it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, just like in the previous Gemara. So what does it mean that Nebuchadnezzar's army was Ashpasay kekever pasuach kulam giborim? Rav and Shmuel, Achleik is Rav and Shmuel. Va'amrila, Ravami v'Ravasi. Chadam one says, B'shosh is Arkin Chetz, when they would throw their spears, Oysin, Ashpasis, Ashpasis, Shal Chalalim. They would make piles of corpses. They would kill a lot of people. V'shem atoim ash umne mekarif. So you'll tell me that maybe they weren't strong. They were just like, you know, snipers, sharpshooters. They were very talented. Not physically strong, per se. Talmud loymar kulam gibayr. No, they were very strong. Chadamar, one man said, B'shosh oysin tzarcheim. When they had to go to the bathroom, Oysen ashpasis ashpasis shal zevel. There were literally piles that would come out of their body. Maybe it's because they weren't well. No, tamulim are kulin gibayim. They were so big, they were so strong, and that was a sign of their gvura. Omer Rav Mori, Shmam, you know, Haiman, the Navash Zivle, Chaylam Ayayinu. So you see from here, from the Gemara's Havamina, that maybe the reason they did it was because they weren't well, not because they were strong, that someone who's going to the bathroom and a lot is coming out, more than what seems normal, it means that there's something wrong with his stomach. L'may nafkamina, why does this matter? Says the Gemara. What do you mean? L'tshuch benafshe. He should try to find a doctor to help him out. The pasuk says, Daigo belev ish yashchena. That if a person has a worry inside his heart, yashchena. In English, he should quash it. Deal with it. How so? Rav Ami v'Ravasi. Chad Omar Yascheno Yasichena Midaita. Rashi says Yasichena as if it would have been written with a samach. Miloshin Hesachadas. You should try not to think about it. The Chad Omar once said Yasichena La'Acher. To the contrary, you should discuss it with people. This is something that you should talk to people about. So two very different approaches how a person should deal with issues that he may be willing with. But this is the makar to the social worker. But either way, is it, you see, a person has an issue So yasichena miloshen hesach hadash, just don't think about it, make believe it doesn't exist. Or no, to the contrary, pay somebody $200 an hour to help you deal with it. But either way, yasichena midaita or yasichena midaita. Va'atem iatem came. But Mishnah said that Shevach and Goliath, they all came with their warriors. Klai Yisrael doesn't fight that way. How does Klai Yisrael fight? So that was the last line of the Mishnah. Ki Hashem alekechem ahiluchim lochem lilochem lochem zemachna orin. They didn't fight. They fight together with Machna Orin. Says the Gemara of Kol Kachlama, what's the reason for it? Meaning, why did the Orin come together with the Yidden at war? Because the Shem Hashem and all the Kinuyim of the Shem Hashem were in the Orin. So the special power of the Orin and the reason the Orin went to fight wars together with the Yidden was somehow related to the fact that the Shem Hashem and the Kinuyim of the Shem Hashem is the Shem HaMefarish, the Kinuyim would be the Zayin Shemois, She'ena Nemchakim, were all in the Aron. Exactly what this means, Ayin Berishayim. V'chein Uayim, there's a Pasuk that says Mefarish that the Aron used to go together with the Yidden at war. V'yishlach Oysam Moshe Elof Lamata Latzava Oysam, V'ez Pinchas, Ben Elazar Hakoyin Latzava Uklei Hakodesh Vachatzoyis Hashatzuos Biyadik. That's the entire pasuk. So the Gemara dashes the pasuk. Vayishloch Oysam Moshe Elof Lamata Latzava Oysam Ves Pinchas Oysam Elu Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin used to go to war with the Yidden. Pinchas Zemeshuach Melcham. Vekli Hakodesh Ze Arin Veluchas. That's the pasuk. The Arin Veluchas used to fight the wars with the Yidden. Shabbat. Vechatzoyitzroyis Hatrua Elu Ashayfroyis Tana. Loi Lachinam Halach Pinchas Lamelchama. That pasuk is in the context of the war against Midian. So says the Gemara that it wasn't for naught that Pinchas was the one who led the Yidden to battle against Midian. Elali Parah Din Avi Ima. He had an old invoice that he was paying up. He had an old cheshbon with his Zeda. Who was Pinchas' grandfather? Now Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. So on the paternal side, we know exactly who Pinchas' Zeda was. But on his maternal side, he stammed from Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik was sold by the Midianim. Shenemer v'Midianim machro Yisrael Mitzrayim. He traded hands several times before he ended up in the palace of Potiphar. One of the people that sold Yosef was Midianim. So Pinchas had a little retribution for something that the Midianim had done to his Zedas. Thus, he was the one who led Klal Yisrael to war, Nekama, against what his Zedas had done to Yosef. It says the Gemara. That's an interesting fact that you just said. Lememer the Pinchas mi Yosef asi. Did Pinchas come from Yosef on his maternal side? V'kzibah, the pasuk says, V'loz ben aharen, lokach loy mi b'nois putiel. His father was a loss. His mother was mi b'nois putiel. Loy le'isha. And my love, why was she called putiel? Meaning, who was her father? Lav da'asi mi Yisroi, says the Gemara. I would think it's because he came from Yisroi, meaning she, her father was Yisroi, or from Yisroi. Shepitem agolim, la'avaydes kechavim. He fattened agolim, la'avaydes zaras. If he came from Yisroi on his maternal side, he couldn't have came from Yosef. Says the Gemara, loy mi Yosef. Putiel really is a reference to Yosef. Shepit beit be Yitzroy. Rashi says, zilzel the kovash oisoy. Valich hashova. He was mezalzel. It is Yitzhara. But the Gemara says, valishvotim mevazen oisoy. Re'isim ben puti zeh ben shepitim avi imel agam lovay de zara. Yaharik nasim Yisrael. After he killed Zimri, after Pinchas killed Zimri. So the Ashvatim said, someone who Zeda was a priest for Avodah Zarah, he should go now and he should kill Zimri. So you see that he really did come from Yisroi. He didn't come from Yosef, says the Gemara. No, he had two Zedas on his maternal side. It could be his father's mother was from Yosef, in which case, his mother's mother would have been from Yisroi. And if his mother's mother was from Yosef, his father's mother would be from Yisroi. Right? He had more than one grandfather. So you see from here that he came both from Yisroi and he came from Yosef as well. So he's an enekel of Yisroi and he's an enekel of Yosef. I'll just tell you one dover nifla that I saw once, b'shem dechida, which is related to something that we mentioned a few times recently in the daf. So Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen is mibnois putiel. He came from Yisroi and he came from Yosef. What did he do? What was his big Maisa that he did in the Torah? He killed Zimri. What was Zimri's Avera? So Zimri, he was Boyal Aramis, Cosby. But the truth is, Chazal say that he did something else. It's not Mefurish in Chazal, but it's very much implied in Chazal. Because the Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuvav, Amid Aleph, and Rashi brings in a Chumash, B'Shem HaSifri, that when the Yidden tried being Boyal together with the Midianites, so they would be together, and the man would have a Yetzer Hara, would want to do the Avera, and he would say, Hishamili, no, I want to do the Avera, I want to do this Nus. He might see a Leit Muspar. Before he had an opportunity to be boil her, she would take out the Pa'ar, which was there, Avodah Zarah, and she would say, Ishtachav Alozeh, bow down to this. If you bow down to this, I'll allow you to be boil. And clearly, from the Gemara, it's Mashu, that's what happened. So when the Yidin were Nichshal with the Midyanim, they weren't just Nichshal in Arayas, they were Nichshal in Avodah Zarah as well. There were two Averas. There was the Avera of Boil Aramis, and there was the Avera of Avodah Zarah. Pinchas came from Yisroi Yosef. What was Yisroi's Avera? He was Mefatim Agom L'Avodah Zarah. What was Yosef's Avera? He was Pit Be Yisroi. But we learned the Gemara at Saita last week, where the Gemara says that he really had this overwhelming Yetzirah to the point that the Zera came out Mibain Sparnov. There was a little bit of a Chet of Arayas that Yosef had. Pinchas is Mibnais Batil. He has to be Mesakin, the Chet of his Zeda Yisroi and his Zeda Yosef. How is he Mesakin? He sees that Zimri is Nichshol in these two Averas, the Avera of Arayas and the Avera of Idazorah. He's Kana and Poygen Boy. That was the Tikkun for the two Averas from his two Zedas, his Zeda Yisroi. This is B'Shem Dechida, a Dover Nifla Adlamoy. Zok to Mishnah. V'dibru Hashoitrim Elo'am. So now the Meshuach Chama begins, he says, Shema Yisrael, and then the Shoitrim all take over. Leimor, and what did they say? Anyone who just built a house and he had an opportunity to make his Chanukah Sabayas, he can go home. He doesn't have to fight the war. And someone that planted a Karen, and he wasn't Michal of the Karen yet, which by the way means, when were they Michal the Karen? The fourth year of the cycle. First 3 years is Arlo. You could first be Mechal, you can't eat it for 4 years. If you're within those 4 years, you could go home. And he didn't do Nisuin yet, that person is allowed to go home as well. So says the Gemara. Very straightforward. Doesn't mean only if you build a house to live in, but even if it's a Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBakar, that's where your cattle stays, Beis HaEitzim, where you store wood, Beis HaEitzreitz, where you store other commodities, that's also fine. Not just that, Echad HaBoyin, whether you built it, Vechad HaKech, or you just bought it, Vechad HaYerish, or you yarshened it, Vechad Shanaslai B'Matana, or someone very kindly gifted it to you. In either one of those examples, you're considered a Bona Bias, if you were Leich HaNocha, Yeilech V'Yashrev L'Beisai. Umi Ish HaShanot HaKerem V'Lechilolai. Doesn't mean only if you planted a Kerem. Echad haneteh kerem, v'echad haneteh chamisha ilonei meichol. Five different types of plants. Why five? Because a kerem has five plants. That's just the way a kerem is situated. So if it's similar to a kerem, even though it's not grapes, it's not a vineyard, that's also fine. V'afilu mechameshes minim. Even if each one of these ilonis is from a different min, that's also the halacha. Not just that. Echad haneteh, whether you planted it. V'echad hamavrich, v'echad hamarkev. We'll see more about that tomorrow. V'echad alikeach, you bought it. V'echad hayerish, you yarshened it. V'echad nuslevi matana. Any one of those cases, the halacha is going to be the same. Umiya yishash eiras ish. Someone who had erisim v'not nesuin, he too goes home. Says the Mishnah, Echad HaMa'aris is HaBesula. Whether you're Ma'aris HaBesula, Vechad HaMa'aris is HaMana, Afilu Shemeres Yobam, even if you only fell to Yibam, because there's an Ishus, Isha Hikmalei Men HaShemayim, Vafilu Shemesh HaMeis Avchid B'Mukhama, and this is even a bigger Kiddush. Let's say somebody's at war, and at war he hears that his husband, that his shvaga died, his brother died, so that now, all of a sudden, there's a woman that's a Shemeres Yavam to him. Even in that case, he would be able to go home. Meaning, if somebody's at war and he realizes he doesn't like where this is all heading, so he's Mekadesh and Isha, you can't say, oh, I'm an Eres Isha, so I can go home now. That doesn't work. But this, where it comes Min HaShemayim, you became a Shemeres Yavam, not outside of your control, then you're going to be chayzer. So the rule for all these people is that they would have to go meet the gathering place where all the Yidden went to, before they fought the war. They would hear the drasha of the shaitrim and the Meshuach Mechama, that mio ish, a mio ish, a mio ish, and based on that, they would be able to go home. However, they didn't just go home. They did have to do some work. So they didn't fight on the front lines where it was really dangerous, but they would have to provide food, you know, Red Cross type services. There were things that they had to do. But there was another group of people that didn't go back. So somebody builds a beis shara. These are more inferior type structures. Or four, not five. Or it was five, but not plants that actually bear fruit. Hamachzer es grushasi. You got married, but you were machzer grushasi. Amana l'kayin god. Grusha fakluz l'kayin hedi. Man zeres misigli shor b'ayis shalom anzul l'nasim. Lo yoyu chayzer. All those people didn't go because although they just got married, but they got married be'isr. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer afa b'ina b'ayis al-mechaynoi. Even if somebody had a house, it fell down and he built it back up, that person doesn't either go home. Lo yoyu chayzer. Rabbi Lezer Eimer afa b'ina b'ayis levena b'shoyin. If somebody builds a brick house in this place called Sharon, Rashi says, because that house is not going to have a kiyum, so you don't go back for that. Now all these people would leave, they would go to the gathering place, hear what the Shaitrim said, and then go do different jobs, but not be at the front lines. But there's another group of people that didn't even leave their homes. And it's really based on a pasuk in the Torah, where the Torah says, Kikach ish isha chadasha, lo yetze batzava, v'lo yaver olav l'chol davar, noki yiyah l'beis eshana achas, v'simich es isha ashalokach, pashim shan, and the pasuk, it's the makar to the shana rishon. It's a whole different pasuk. It's a pasuk in Parashas Kisetzi, not in Parashas Shoftim, where all those other pasukim are. But from there, we learn Torah Shabbat Peh. Eilu shein zazimim koyman, bono bayis, v'chan nochoy. If somebody built a house, he was mechanechet, but he's in Shana Rishayna. Not a Karim Vechilaloi, he's in Shana Rishayna. Anoise is a Rusasai, if he actually had Nesuin, Shana Rishayna. And even Akoine says Yavinta, Shenemar, it says, Noki Yeh Lebesoi Shana Achas. We darshan Lebesoi, Ze Besoi, Bonobayas, Yeh Ze Karmoi, Vesimeches Ishtoi, Zu Ishtoi, Ashalokach Lahovias Yavintoi. These people don't go out. They don't have to come back, and not just that. Im aspikim mayim umazoin, they misaknas adrachim. They are 100% exempt from war.